This edition of Steve Adubato Uncut, the podcast, has been made possible by the Healthcare Foundation of New Jersey, PSENG, and Prudential Financial. We are honored to once again be joined by our good friend Akilah Sherrills, who is Executive Director of the Community-Based Public Safety Collective and also President of the Newark Community Street Team. Good to see you, Akilah.
Wonderful to see you, Steve.
You are in Washington as we speak on July the 12th. This will be seen later for a very important event. President Biden bringing leaders from across the nation together to talk about violence, increased violence, particularly in urban communities and others. What are you expecting today and why is it significant?
Today, the White House is going to just reiterate their support for a 16-city initiative in which the White House is in, or the federal government is investing significant dollars in more law enforcement strategy as well as community-based solutions to be able to address urban violence and the spike of violence in urban neighborhoods across the country. And so today, we're just, going to have a conversation and a dialogue, mayors, law enforcement, community-based public safety professionals, talking about how we'll coordinate our collective efforts in cities on the ground to, one, prevent violence, from spiking in the summer, but also lay the foundation for a longer-term public safety strategy.
So, Akilah, let's put this right out there. You joined us early on when we started our post, there's no such thing as post-George Floyd programming around police-minority relations because there's no ending to that effort. It's an ongoing effort. And I told you at the time, and I'll commit, we'll continue to do that. But here's the thing that is difficult for so many. How do we find the balance between police reform, the drastic need or the need for drastic police reform, particularly as it relates to minority men and women, disproportionately men, who have been mistreated by certain police officers and police departments, and this, quote, defunding of the police departments across the nation, the demonization of police officers and police departments across the nation, which many believe has contributed to the increase in violence, particularly in urban communities? I know there's not a real question there, but it can't be that there isn't some sort of balance that's better than what we have. Please, sir.
Yes. Well, the public execution of George Floyd was an inflection point in this country in terms of public safety and public health, right? No longer should we see law enforcement as this ubiquitous single point of contact for safety in our respective communities, right? Law enforcement can't do this job alone and by themselves. We've put so much pressure on our cops to be teachers and lawyers and therapists and counselors, but we haven't provided, the subsequent support in terms of healing services and recovery services and therapeutic services for cops within the department, right? The number one cause of police officer death is suicide. And we know who experienced the highest impact, of the trauma that they suffer, when they don't get the proper support and services that they need, right? So I'm a big advocate of the reform and reallocate dollars, for law enforcement. We need them. They're our sons and daughters, our brothers and sisters, our mothers and fathers. We need policing in our respective community. However, we can't discount that there's been documented history. We talk specifically about Newark. We have a consent decree in which there are documented history that law enforcement officers have perpetrated heinous violence acts against the public. And we have to address it. And so this is the conversation around reform. And reform doesn't just mean investing more dollars in procedural justice and de-escalation strategies for cops. It also means investing in complementary strategies that are community-based, that are community-driven, that actually complement, law enforcement in terms of, supportive services and, kind of maintenance services.
Akilah, all that makes sense, but devil's advocate follow-up is this. I had this conversation recently on the radio regarding New York City violence. And along with so many others, one of our sons is going to be going to university in New York City in the fall. And I look at Washington Square Park, which is, for argument, it's a metaphor for urban centers across the nation. And there's a strong sense on the part of many who abhor what happened to George Floyd and understand that police reform is required and demanded and long overdue, who believe that cops are now in a position not to enforce the law, are backing off, which only promotes a sense of lawlessness on the part of many who say, what are you going to do anyway? Because police are so afraid of the confrontation. I know you understand what I'm saying, and we've got to talk to folks who are saying enough. Enough of backing off, but also enough of abusing people's rights.
That's right. We have to make sure that we provide the proper therapy, healing modalities, counseling services to our cops so that they can show up to community fully, like, present and grounded in their own humanity, right? And so one of the challenges is that we're just not investing enough in that particular area in terms of police, right? And so we have to invest in complementary strategies because our cops weren't, you know, we hire police and deploy them in our communities to, you know, for law enforcement, you know, to protect and serve. Right?
Yes.
And it's like, they're not the totality, you know, of law enforcement. Right now, you know, national, you say public safety and people say police. And so the public, in a certain sense, has abdicated its responsibility in terms of the public safety process. You can't have public safety without the public. And we just haven't invested deeply enough in these strategies to be able to provide the proper balance for our cops.
Okay. Akhil, I'm sorry for interrupting, but I get you. And it's a large, complex sociological policy question, cultural, historical question. But in the meantime, the question is this. To those who argue that cops are now, I'm not going to say gun shy because I don't even like using the term gun in the conversation, but they're hanging back. They're not being as assertive and aggressive as they need to and stopping crime as it's happening for fear of what the reaction is. And a lot of that's an excuse to abuse people's rights, yes, but some of it's legitimate. What do you say to those who argue that cops are not allowed to be cops on the street stopping violent crime while all the things you just said absolutely need to be done?
I would say that for all of those individuals, I would say that we really need to review our procedural justice, like, kind of strategies within policing, that we've allowed, you know, our officers, you know, without a lot of kind of like oversight, to one, harm themselves, but also harm the communities in which they're serving.
No doubt.
And so it's like we have to review those policies internally. Now, if officers aren't, you know, they're saying, hey, we're not going out there because, you know, all of the pushback that we're getting. I'm like, hey, it's legitimate. There's legitimate concerns that.
But it's not excuse me, Akhil, but it's not legitimate to hate police and make them victims on the other end of violence and whatever else goes on the streets. And that's happening as well. No,
I don't think that people actually hate police. I think that people don't.
Some do.
They don't want to be harmed, you know, by law enforcement, by, you know, public servants that we pay to provide services for us and the community. People don't.
But they're not the enemy.
They're our allies.
Say that again.
They're our allies, and we need them. We need our cops in the community. In Newark, you know, man, our public safety director, our chief, you know, many of our captains and patrol cops are sons and daughters of the city. You know, I think that people overwhelmingly respect and support police.
Why is it better in Newark? Anthony Ambrose, our good friend, former public safety director, gone. Mayor Barack has been with us many times. We're a fan of yours. Why is it better in Newark?
It's better in Newark because we have leadership like Mayor Baraka. We had, you know, Anthony Ambrose. We had folks who really understood the public safety process and also understood violence as a public health issue. And that those who are mostly impacted by violence in community in terms of this public health.
Black and brown.
Right. Need to be equipped with the skills, the tools, and the resources to you know, address the issue. And so I think in Newark, what we've done over the past like 5 to 6 years, we've invested in community-based infrastructure.
That's right.
And it's really given our officers a break from having to be everything, you know? And so now our cops, because we have the Newark Community Street Team that's intervening in conflicts, that's mediating, you know, situations in the street where law enforcement is not able to, you know, to be able to respond, we give our cops more time to be able to focus on the real serious issues that are happening in neighborhoods.
Which feels like a national model, Akhil. Which should be, and listen, my job is not to editorialize, but I don't understand why that's not a national model.
That's right. Well, it's being lifted up now. And this is actually why the White House has invited both myself as well as, you know, Lieutenant Tony Lima, who heads up the shooting team for Newark, is also going to be today at the White House, because they wanted to speak with folks who are boots on the ground and how community-based public safety is actually working in partnership with law enforcement to actually reduce violence and crime in cities.
And we need more Akilah Sherrills out there. Thank you, my friend. All the best in Washington at this conference on July 12th as we're taping. We'll continue the conversation with you. As always, you and your colleagues are definitely part of the answer. Thank you, Akilah.
Thank you so much, Steve. We appreciate you, my man.
Right back at you. I'm Steve Adubato. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.